Well, it's always a joy to get to share a few minutes with you and some things that have been on my heart over these last few weeks. and I think I'm going to divert from the gospel reading today because of what I wanted to share. And I think it's real important that we rediscover some of our roots. And during this Epiphany time, you know, we focused on the Magi coming, we focused on the light of Christ. But one thing we have not done is focused on the second most important person, and probably the person that's responsible for you to be here other than the Holy Spirit. And that is the Apostle Paul. And I want to talk about the Apostle Paul for just a few minutes. Because without Paul, you see, Christianity may have stayed in the Jewish realm. Got to remember that Paul had to defend and go to Jerusalem and defend his position and why he was attracting so many of us Gentiles. Because the truth is that Jesus had come and worked among the Jewish community. And he had opened the gospel and opened it to everyone. But yet his followers were Jewish. Their roots were Jewish. They were 100% Jewish. And in order to be a Christian in the earliest moments of the church, you had to be Jewish. That's what Peter thought. And Peter was the boss, Peter and James. And that's what they thought. You had to convert to Judaism to become a Christian. Okay? So the Epiphany of Paul is probably the single most important event in the history of the church. Everything we sang about today, everything, can be attributed to the words of Paul. Not anything that we talked about so far cannot be. It all comes back to this tremendous apostle that God illumined one day. And let me just tell you a little bit about Paul. He is attributed with, of the 27 New Testament books, he authored or had authorship in 13 of them. No doubt about it. Paul's significance is tremendous. Paul had a brilliant mind. He could he could argue philosophy and religion. He was a brilliant person. He was taught by the most noted Jewish scholar of the day, Gamaliel. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He was the best. In fact, he claims I was the best of the best. The best of the best. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. Well, you know, now the difference between Sadducees and Pharisees, right? Do you know the difference? Do you remember? Canon Rick used to always teach us this in our theology classes. He would always say, now, this is how you remember Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees believed in the resurrection. But the Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't. Father David likes that. I know he does, because he heard Rick say that 100 times. Anyway, he was part, and actually the Pharisees were the minority group. They did not manage the temple. The Sadducees managed the temple. And they were the priests in charge of the temple. But the Pharisees were a minority group. Just an interesting side note. Anyway, Paul had this incredible transformation. I think most of us remember how it happened. But today I'm going to just pretty much let Paul talk to us a little bit today. Got a few scriptures I want to read, and I just want you to hear Paul's heart. I want you to hear what happened. Now, Paul was not much different than most of us. You know his background. He was out persecuting the church. He was there for Stephen's stoning, cheering him on. And at the time, this was the early 30s, late 30s, and so he was out you know, and he had gone to get permission to go to Antioch, I believe it was, or one of the other cities in Damascus, on the road to Damascus, and grab some more of those pesky Christians and put this whole thing down. Let's get rid of these guys. And so he's on his way there, and a little thing happened on the way to the grocery store. Acts chapter 9, the writer says it this way. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked them for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, which is what Christians were called in the very beginning, the way. You may remember Jesus' words, the way, the truth, the life. Amen. They were the way. That's who we are, the way. Whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And who do you think that was? Did we sing about that today? Amen. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And so the story goes on. He went to, he got up, he was blind. He went to Damascus and met some believers down there. They brought him to some believers down there who did not want to see him, didn't want to know him, didn't want to have anything to do with him. Now, how unlikely is this story? No, really. This is like inviting Muammar Gaddafi over. Let's have him over. Let's hang out with the guy. No. You don't want. This is the enemy. This is your arch enemy. This is this person that you've heard about. He's out killing people just like you. And if he comes to my house, he's going to know right where I live. But the Lord intervened in his life and said, "No, I want you to see Paul because you've got a special ministry." And so, Ananias, he went to Ananias' house, placed his hands on Saul, and he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He spent several days with his disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Talk about a transformation, a transforming moment in the life of Saul. And most of us, believe it or not, have experienced something similar to that. When we became illumined, when we recognized Jesus, that he died on the cross for us, and that he paid for our sins, and that he rose again, that's an epiphany. Amen. And that's epiphany provided by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't just come to you. You don't think, "Huh, I need to be a Christian." You know what I mean? Now, some of us were just raised that way, that we just have known Christ our whole lives, but not many, not many, but some have. But there's always that time when God comes to us, taps us on the shoulder, and his revelation of who he really is, the cross becomes alive. It becomes meaningful. It's powerful. It's emblazoned in our minds and in our hearts, the work that he did. And Paul has this tremendous ministry to go out and preach to Gentiles, because they were kind of the guys on the outside. And he had this tremendous way of, I'm going to use this word, it's not the right word, I'm looking for it. He took the Old Testament and he made it come alive in present day. He reintroduced. I was going to say he reinterpreted. In a lot of ways, he did. But he made the prophecies in the Old Testament come alive in the life of Jesus. That's really, because the Old Testament was the book. He wasn't writing. God didn't say, hey, you know, I want you to write the book, the New Testament. I want you to put in 13. That isn't how this happened at all. I know we kind of think, you know, it just magically appeared, but it didn't. It was written by men and women, men, maybe some women, just like you and I, who had this tremendous revelation, this epiphany experience. The light has come. And we've said the light during this time has come to each of us. Today our collect is because that light has come to us. Let us share that light.
Amen.
And that was Paul's desire. Paul's desire was to share the message of Jesus. Paul had a profound and passionate and total dedication to the one who transformed his life. Look into Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I said I'm just going to let Paul tell you about Paul, because it's important for us to recognize, I think, and not forget how we got here.
Amen.
We got here because Jesus Christ came.
Yes,
and he worked through his apostles, but then he found that one special guy that could reach beyond the realm and reach out into the world of Gentiles, who himself was the Jew of the Jews. Number one. Pretty amazing. Anyway, so in chapter 3, this profound passion, the one who transformed his life, he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. I consider it garbage. All that I know, all that I've learned, my whole life, everything that I've owned, I consider it rubbish compared to the surpassing knowledge. Think about this. This is the same guy. The surpassing knowledge. This is the same revelation that's come to us. This tremendous opportunity that Paul had. I consider him rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. And I need a napkin. I need one of these. I always forget that I. You know what? When I was in college, man, they would tell us, I was in the Baptist college, and they would tell us, you know, when you hold the word of God and you share it with people, this is so important. It's so important. And you, as a preacher, you want to transmit and share this incredible, the depth of what Paul is saying. He's saying, the love of God has transformed me.
Amen.
It's made me a new person. It's not just saved me from hell, but it's transformed me. It's transcendent. And he was so thankful. That's really the ultimate message of Paul. His tremendous and profound gratefulness to God for what he had done. Because he had lived by the law. He knew what the law could do. He knew he could do the law. But then when Jesus opened his eyes, oh, the wretched sinner that I am. But thanks be to God who sent Jesus, right? He's always thankful and thanking God. Always has a heart of thankfulness. Not because of his own righteousness, but because of the faith of God that has illuminated him and transformed his life. Not that I have already obtained all of this, he continues to say, or have already been made perfect, but this one thing I do. I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of, taken hold of the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, pressing on to what's ahead, I press on towards the goal of to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Listen, that's the cry of our heart. It should be. We've got to press on. We've got to press in. We've got to continue to move forward. Listen, it's not, this isn't a game we're in. It's not easy. Paul tells us, look, this is not easy to do. I have to press towards the call of the high call of God. I got to work at it. I've got to move. And that's what God's calling us to do.
Amen.
To share the good news.
Amen.
To share the light. To share the joy. Amen. That we've been redeemed.
Hallelujah.
We have a future.
Yes,
we have a past, but we have a future because we press towards the high call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Paul had complete confidence.
Yes, he did.
He had complete confidence in the one who called him. Romans chapter 8. One of the best chapters in the Bible. But this is Paul. This is Paul. This is how powerful Paul's words are. He had profound passion, total dedication. But more than that, he had complete confidence in a conquering and confidence in the one who called him.
Yes,
listen to his words. And I'm just going to... Who shall separate us from the love of God? From the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword... I don't think any of us have had suffered any of that. But he had. He could speak that. He was on those missionary journeys. He'd been beaten. He was starved. He was thrown in jail. He was hungry. They probably stripped him of everything. His neck, his clothes. They sent him out naked. But he says, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, he says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Amen.
He says, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor famine nor future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Right, nothing can separate us from the love of God. If somebody tells you that you can be separated from God's love, they've completely missed the point of Paul's message to us. Completely missed it. No, God loves us. Unconditionally. Neither height, nor depth, nor powers. He says in Galatians or Philippians, that he put, that the power of the cross, he disarmed the powers that stand against us by being nailed to the cross. When he was nailed to the cross, at that moment, the powers that stood against us became defenseless.
Amen.
Now, they fire arrows at us, but we have the shield of faith.
Amen.
We don't have to let those arrows and those doubts and things that distract us so easily take over our lives.
Amen.
Because we can be transformed and transforming our minds all the time, every day. That's right. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Back at you. Complete confidence. He had a conquering confidence. That's what these words will do for us.
Amen.
They will set us free. They set Paul free. He was just sharing what God had done in his mind and in his life. In spite of the hardship, in spite of the persecution, he pressed on because he was confident. He was absolutely certain. There's probably never been anybody more certain, more confident than Paul was about this one thing, that God has sent his son. Now, one of the other amazing things about Paul is that his letters were written prior to the Gospels. These were all written prior to the Gospels. So he wasn't taking the Gospels and extracting information from that. This was revelation that he was gaining from the Old Testament, really, and from what the other apostles and the people that knew and associated with Jesus. He took that information and he wrote and encouraged people. All of his letters are encouraging words. Even Corinthians, when he's beating them up rough, being a little rough with them, he never stops thanking God for them. He didn't say, God doesn't love you anymore, and they were doing some pretty crazy stuff, right? If it was going on in our church, we'd be throwing them out. No, really. There's some pretty crazy stuff going on. But Paul said, look, thanks be to God for these people. They just need to be transformed. Yes. But then one last passage. Philippians chapter 4. Paul encourages us. He says these words. Finally, my brothers and sisters. He doesn't say sisters here, but it's implied. Whatever is true. Now, you want to do something countercultural? Focus on these words this week. Okay? You want to be countercultural? You want to not run with the crowd? You want to stand out? And I know we do. We all do. We want that. We desire that. How do you do that? How do you do that in a 24-hour news world when everything that comes at us is so negative? Oh, my gosh. I know you can't turn on anything without somebody's a hater. You know, everybody's a hater now. Everybody. No, I mean everybody's calling everybody a hater. Like, really? Excuse me. Anyway, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things.
Amen.
What does that do for us? Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, or even seen in me, put it into practice.
Amen.
And the God of peace will be with you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We don't really live in a world of peace. We live in a world of turmoil, strife, hard work, setbacks, disappointments. Paul knew that.
Amen.
He experienced all of that. But he lived a transformational life. His epiphany is the most transformational event in the life of the church.
Yes, it is.
You and I are here because this man gave himself.
Yes, it is.
He was confident. He was convinced. He was determined. He was sure. He was positive.
Amen.
Of the one who called him.
Hallelujah.
Positive. No doubt about it. No matter what the odds, no matter what the task. So what does the epiphany tell us today? What is Paul's epiphany? Put it into practice. The transformational life.
Amen.
And practice, practice, practice at it.
Hallelujah.
Practice our profession. Practice our gifts. Give it everything you've got. And God's peace will envelop us. That's good news. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.